हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सहि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bottom of 44. A devotee should remain fixed in the principles of Vaishnavism. He should not support various opinions for social reasons. As stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyalila 10, 185, and 188, and 192, sometimes he takes straw in his mouth, and sometimes he beats me with a stick. Therefore, he is not fit to see me. The Lord continued, wherever he goes, he mixes with those peoples and talks like them. He is an offender at the feet of bhakti. That is why he is forbidden to see me. Right, so, for social reasons that one wants to, affect oneself, be comfortable in a particular group or some reason like that, that there's something that is not for Krishna conscious reasons, but it'll be for one's own purposes, then if one keeps changing the philosophy or changing what, the principles of, how he sees it or the strictness or the importance for these reasons, then we see the Lord is not very happy here. Like that. Because Lord Chaitanya is saying this person is not allowed to see me because he just sometimes he's very nice, sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's fixed on serving him, sometimes he's not. But based on the social environment here. Not that one day he's more Krishna conscious, one day he's less because he's distracted by, his own material desires. This is that he changed his opinion for material purposes. Like that. He changes it because then it will be, good for him socially, whatever group that he wants to be involved with. So he just takes on their mood and everything like that so he can hang out like that. So that's not proper because he's not attempting. Do we see the difference here? This is also a subtle point. The difference between where the person is sincere about it, though maybe not the weak. Another is that he's not really sincere about it. Does that make sense? So a common point will be, okay, they both may have material motives, but the one understands the material motives not good, but is by habit not dealing with it necessarily as good as he would like. Right? And the other one is he for his own purpose that he is not necessarily thinking that it's the material element's a bad thing, so he's working to get it. And he's doing it by this social method that he'll constantly change the philosophy. It's not like he's consistent. At least there's a consistency of the philosophy's correct, but his practice of it, he's not always able to do it. This one is that he'll keep changing the philosophy just for so socially he'll be accepted. Does that make sense? So that kind of thing doesn't. Because the thing is it's the loyalty that's important, that consistency. Saying people have problems, people have difficulties, that's people, right? But consistency you expect. You expect the relationship to be there no matter what happens. Like that. Also, if it's just a matter of whoever you're with and you'll take on that mood, then how will one be trusted, on the spiritual world, right? Means that there's so many different groups of devotees and each one has their idea how to best serve Krishna. So if whichever one you're with, then you just hang out with them and get into to their mood. Then, nice, you can say it's for Krishna, but the point is what group will want to have you around?
Yes. And how can you have a relationship with Krishna because you don't have any... I mean, there's no you.
Yeah.
If you change your personality.
Yeah, that's true. There's no you, and there's also is that who you see as the one who you're trying to please, then is not that's not the prominent element. Mm-hmm. It's just you just want to fit in. So it's all about fitting in. So we can also see here is that the idea where devotees just want to fit in to the local scene. It's not a matter you fit in or they'll come and, you know, put you into, you know, how you say, you know, police cars and drive you away or something like this. It's a matter of you want to fit in because socially you want to match. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. Because we have to remember is here you're having that society of devotees and then you have those who are, you know, different moods and all those things. So you just hang out with that. It's the same principle. You know, like that. So it doesn't matter if, you know, the group of Vaishnavas is more and those who are not is less, or the group of non-devotees is more and the group of Vaishnavas is less. That doesn't work. Who knows? I don't know. It's not even a matter of sahajiyas. It's a matter of, say, sometimes he takes straw in his mouth and sometimes he beats me with a stick. So it means he's not consistent. And then on top of that, wherever he goes and mixes with those people and talks like them. Right? So sometimes he's in there, sometimes he's not, sometimes he's with these people and that, so there's no steadiness. So how can you have a relationship with someone who doesn't have an identity and just is trying to please whatever group he happens to be with at the time? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not you mentioned one can be sincere but weak, or you know, have some bad habit that he sees he cannot deal with the way he likes. What would be the reason that he cannot deal with that?
It's just anartas. That's what anartas means.
Almost seeing the problem gets.
Yeah, but intellect is the first stage, but through practice then the mind accepts it. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is if it was that easy, then who coming in contact with Krishna consciousness wouldn't be, you know, fully situated in Krishna consciousness and extremely advanced? That's why there's a stage. Anartha Nivritti means that you're trying to get rid of anartas, right? And so Anartha Nivritti, you can say by bulk, is accomplished by nishta, but it's not actually fully accomplished until bhava, because there's still maybe some elements of the conditioned nature. So there's always something. Most are all gone by ruchi. It's what wasn't gone at nishta then generally goes with ruchi. But then you're dealing with very subtle things that are left. You know what I'm saying? The fault of taking sides against the Vaishnavas described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 13.160, as follows. A sinful person who takes the side of one Vaishnava condemns another and is vanquished. Right. So, in other words, it means that the difference of opinion is either based on conditioning or on, you know, flavor or taste and how to serve Krishna. So one has to be very careful is that the point of specialty is that one is a devotee. Right? So one is to... The difference of opinion is avoided. Right? So here we're saying even this other person, he's in one group or another, whichever group he's with, you could say, well, he's the one that doesn't have any, thing bad to say, and he mixes with everybody equally and that, but then nobody will trust him. But then if you are, fixed in a particular position, then one would have to be careful of this fault, of one Vaishnava's opinion against another. But the point is it's a matter of, they can have their opinion, you're just not involved in it. In other words, the state of neutrality is there. Okay. So, it's not a matter of taking sides, it's a matter of figuring out what's right. So this is there, so then it's a matter of, they're trying to do this, this one's trying to do that, so then finding that common ground, so that they can work it out. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
So taking sides would be kind of tribal behavior?
Taking sides? No, it's just material behavior. Because, somebody may take sides and this and that, even of a higher nature. But the actual point is that the purified state would be that there's a difference of opinion. Why is there a difference of opinion? Now, it may be due to both are Krishna conscious. So it's two different two valid ways to do a service. But one, because of their nature, figures the one is good, the other figures that according to their nature, that this would be good. Like that. So then it's not a matter of one over the other. Then etiquette is followed, and then, like that. If it's a matter of, the points may be right, but consciousness is not, or even the points are wrong, consciousness is right, or, whatever it may be, any combination, that there's a principle that they're doing, that they want to serve Krishna, but they don't necessarily know how. Does that make sense? Like we were saying, that the position that was taken, that's being taken, that one fell from the position of prema in a direct relationship with Krishna. But when Prabhupada says we fell from the spiritual platform, they're just not catching what that means. They'll take that, but it's not an unnatural fault. Just like when we say spiritual, we mean transcendental, right? It means involved with Krishna. When we say liberation, that means in a relationship with Krishna. When we say relationship, that means with Krishna. So in other words, all words are defined in connection with Krishna, right? And we will take, the spiritual world is the platform of love of God, so therefore anybody there is on that platform. So if he fell from the spiritual world, then that would mean from prema. Right? So they're just taking natural steps based on the authority of the acharya that he said that one has fallen from the spiritual platform. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And when you say in the pastimes, the whole thing is the pastimes. Means the point is that whole thing with the yogic Brahmins, that's also pastimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So but we'll take for granted there, but because they're taking the point as the acharya said, we fell from the spiritual world, then that's the stand we're going to take. So that's strong. But in there, the amount of information is not enough to get technical, right? And the other party, they're trying to support also in their idea the acharyas, that they've said certain things, but what they miss is that they're going against their own acharya, and they're going against even the head of the line. So that means, they don't actually have the support of anybody. You can't go against Prabhupada, and not also apply what Rupa Goswami says and says that you're supported by Jiva Goswami. He's not going to buy that, seeing that Rupa Goswami is his acharya. So it's not going to work. But the point is there's a principle there that's trying to be accomplished. One wants to establish what they feel is what the acharya is saying, and the other one wants to establish what they feel the acharya is saying. And the difficulty is that both have points that are correct. But the difficulty is that they're not going deep enough into that and seeing them in according to our philosophy, the Chinta Beda Beda Tattva. Because it's always this or that. You know? So as close as it gets is Dwait Advait. It never makes it to a Chintabheda Vedatattva. So does that make sense? So then it's a matter of pointing that out if one happens to get into the middle of that. Does that make sense? But what we're saying is that the position of those who take the stance that Prabhupada said like this will be in a stronger position than those who are not worried about that. Does that make sense?
Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit was given the knowledge of Bhagavatam while he was sitting near the river Ganga.
Right.
But Jiva Goswami says that it was Yamuna. So Prabhupada says that Jiva Goswami has said that it was Yamuna. So like they are not contradicting between Ganga or Yamuna.
Do you know much about the geography of India when it comes to the Ganges?
But
do you know much about it? Okay, so the Ganga comes out at four different places. You have four different rivers, right? The Ganges, the Bhagirathi, the Alakananda, and I forget which is the last.
Mandakini.
Okay. Right? So they all come out at different places. Right? And then they all come together slowly. By the time they're at Rishikesh, they're all together. Right? And then they hit the plain at Haridwar. Because before that, it's mountains and coming down. So then you've hit the actual, you know, the plains of India. Okay? So it continues as a single river for some distance. Then it splits. Right? And on one side you have the Ganges, on the other side you have the Jamuna. Right? And then what is it called? Allahabad. At Prayag, it goes back together again. Okay? Does that make sense? So what we have here, is that Ganga or Jamuna? Right? And before they split, is that Ganga or Jamuna? Means as a general principle, you call it the Ganges, right? The river is called the Ganges River, not Ganges River up to here, and then it's Jamuna and this and that, and then it's Ganges River again. No, it's Ganges River. So if we say that he's sitting next to the Ganges, are we wrong? Even if it's sitting on the side where it's the Jamuna, you understand? That's why is that one has to look at it. So what the acharyas here aren't contradicting. They're saying that of, you know, the place where they're sitting, because they're sitting in the Kuru Jungala. So Kuru Jungala specifically is that island. You know, I mean, it's so big you don't count it as an island. But that island from where the Ganges splits to where it goes back together, right? You know, it's specifically that area there. So then that aspect, then you're just pointing out that it's because both sides are technically Ganga, but one is Jamuna, you know, Ganga, and the other is Ganga. Right? So he's just pointing out that it's the Jamuna side. Right? Not the Ganga, the Ganges side. Does that make sense? So it's not a contradiction, he's just giving a detail. Some will take, oh no, it's a different river. But the point is Jamuna. Oh, I think that's one of Jamunotri, right? Gangotri, Jamunotri.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Alakananda and then Mandakini.
Bhagirath.
Like that. Ah, whatever. There's four of them. Right? And so they all come out, they go together, and at different times they come apart again. Does that make sense? Here, this side is the Ganges side, that side is the Jamuna side. Does that make sense? Yeah, so she always stays on that side. So as they come down from north, right? So the western side is Jamuna and the eastern side is Ganges. And so then that splits. And they go back together, even though they're coming down here. The western side is Ganges, the eastern side is Ganges.
So like this is that we should not support one Vaishnava and You're not supporting others.
Yeah, no, because they're both are correct. The point is they're correct, but you have to know how to apply what they're saying. Mm. You know, and then what's being said, whether that's the best for the situation, but then that depends upon, you know, who you're following, your line. So for us, then, to look at it as Jamuna, then it means we can look at it as Ganga, which it is, but if you look at it as Jamuna, then that brings in that element of, you know, the importance of the 10th canto. Right? You know what I'm saying? Krishna's pastime. So it adds something to it. And for others, it's not important. It's not that Jamuna will have that much more meaning to them, so there's no need to say it was Jamuna. So for them, it's just on the bank of the Ganges, and for them, that's good enough. They know it's, you know, auspicious river, it's holy, all the sages are there, so it's not. Yeah, but it's the same principle.
Here in this citation, quoted, it said, a sinful person would exercise the one Vaishnava and condemn another is vanquished. What's about a pious person?
Well, you could take it that here the sinful person means somebody who is sinful by nature. So if they take one side of the oath, then they're vanquished. But it could also mean someone who takes sides and condemns one over the other is sinful.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's just like the person's a person, right? But then when they do something that you don't consider proper, then you have other, you know, how you say, sub-nouns. You know, other words that you connect to that, to the word person,
yes,
to describe them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So whether this has been is speaking before the activity, I mean, we look at it, well, you know, as it goes in the senses, mm-hmm, sentence, but it's also could be just, you know, being described, you know, about that situation. So then taking sides could be seen to be sinful. Right? Because just like we see that verse, you know, how you say, Mahabhashadi Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnava Sopapunya Vatam Rajan Dushvasana Jayata. You know, so that someone who doesn't see the specialness of all this, then they are going to have difficulty. Right? As someone who, you know, criticizes Vaishnavas, then he has a hellish mentality. So then, but that's not saying that, well, that just means non-devotees. It just means that position is not good. Is that good? Yes.
In the point of other acharyas, not contradicting it, but in the Bhagavatam, he speaks Kanta when he describes Maharaja and Jambar. He was born to a pious Brahman who had two wives and he had like 10 brothers. In the verse it says that they were pious, same nature as their father, very religious and everything. And just after that it says that when his father died, that Bharat was harassed by his brothers and stepmother.
But just because they're pious doesn't mean that they're necessarily nice. Well-behaved, the father is there. What happens? The teacher is there in the class, how does it go? When the teacher leaves the class, what happens? Right? You know, so, you know, if you check it out, some of the times the most crazy pranks that happen at the school are done by the guys with the 4-point average. You know what I'm saying? Because they're smart enough to think them up, you know. You know what I'm saying? The guy that just does, you know, blocks the ball on the football team is not necessarily smart enough to think those up. He's always in trouble, and it's obvious. But the other guys are so smart, they're making trouble, but no one notices.
And they're planning for 6 months.
Huh?
And they're planning for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like this. So, you know, they pull it off, you know, good. They steal the mascot, you know, so many things like that. You know, that takes planning. You know, it's just to go and you know, push somebody in the pool or something. You know, maybe that's pretty straightforward. You know. So, therefore, that's the one thing. So, pious means they're inclined towards doing pious activities. But the point is the father there? No. So there's no authority. So then the whole point is their relationship, you know, being siblings, then may have the element of chivalry to it. So then there may be all this fighting and harassing and stuff like that. You know, and then the father is taking care, so then it's nice, but now the father's not taking care. So then he'll tend to be a burden, right? Because the father will see him as, you know, a member of the family. The others will see him as a burden, you know, because they don't have that affection. Does that make sense? So that lack of affection doesn't stick. And another point it points out is, therefore, you know, taking birth in a, you know, what we call a good family isn't necessarily indicative of a good time or Krishna consciousness. Like that. You know, because the demigods, what are they called? Demigods. Right? Their position as suras is that when there's a problem, they'll turn to the Lord. But it doesn't mean if there's no problem that they have any Krishna consciousness at all. Does that make sense? So like that. You know, you'll say someone's a devotee. But when things are really nice, they may not think of the Lord. But when things get out of trouble, then they'll think of the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's what makes them suras, what makes them devotees. Like that. So it doesn't mean that these things don't happen. I mean, the Avantipur Brahmana didn't go so well for him either. Right? You know, we're thinking, oh, punk kids are only nowadays. No, that's like there. Avantipur Brahmana, he was surrounded by punk kids. Sukadev Goswami is walking down the road and he's surrounded by punk kids. Right? So only when the sages notice them and start to respect, then all the punk kids start to go away. Right? Does that make sense? So these things have always been there. Because we'll have the idea that, oh, it's perfect and all that, which is fine, it's good, because then there's inspiration. But unfortunately, we think it's perfect and fine materially. We're not looking at the spiritual side. Oh, it's so perfect, nobody will bother everybody, and everything's so wonderful, and there's no bad things in the world, and everybody loves each other and all that. But we still haven't mentioned any Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, that's why it said religious. Because religious means everything goes nice and everything like that. But we also notice in the application of religious, it also means everybody else is wonderful and nice. I'm the only one that's allowed the freedom to have some problems. Right? But I'm working on them and everybody else should understand. Right? Like that. But no one else should have any problems. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the standard kind of like viewpoint of religiosity. So it has its strength, but it also has its weakness. Does that make sense? So much of the time we see is that, you know, someone may be born into those kind of families. But because you're in the family, you don't take it that family is one of those kind of families. You know what I'm saying? So you just figure it's ordinary. Yeah. Because in sixth canto, then it's mentioned that anyone born in any of these nice families, it's only because of the result of having performed devotional service previously. You know, but it doesn't necessarily mean devotional service where one is aware of it. It can be also agyata sukriti. You know what I'm saying? So you have anyone born in what we would call a wealthy or religious or, you know, how you say, you know, priestly kind of family means they've done that kind of pious activity before. Right? They've done something in connection with devotional service. Like that. Because we see is that if someone was situated really strongly in devotional service, then they'll take birth in the family of devotees. But if they're not born in the family of devotees, then but they're born in a good situation, it's still from devotional service. But we're kind of thinking, we're the few weirdos on the planet over in some corner. But it's no, the whole universe functions by devotional service. Like that, we just don't quite see that. You know, the cosmos, that means the material world, the spiritual world is there for devotional service. The material world is there for those who don't want to do devotional service but should learn devotional service. Right? And then good opportunities in the material world are due to having, you know, come close to that. And not so nice situations are when one was basically ignoring that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the actual position.
I'm okay. Just thinking that in our age it would be pretty much difficult to be born in priestly families outside of India.
Priestly families outside India would be tough.
Like that. So probably not because of devotional service.
Yeah. No, but it's a gyata, maybe a gyata sukriti, but the point is, but then there's also those, you know, what opinions of flavors and like that. You know, just like being born in a family of devotees. There are those who are quite strict and those who are not very strict at all. Mm-hmm. Because the point is the ones who go to the temple once a year, like that, they're also having children. They're also devotees. So then, you know what I'm saying? So it also would be, there'll be always, there's always, it's perfectly tailored to our consciousness. Yes. Yeah, it would be tough like that. But of them, you would probably do. Yeah. All of them are tough, but some of them might have. Yeah, no, they're all pretty tough. I'm not sure if the Buddhists would be a little bit more lenient, but. Good point. Good point. Yeah, the Dalai Lama doesn't have any kids. Either does the Jain Acharyas. But they might have had before enlightenment. So. Yeah, no, it's a tough one. Maybe if your family were shamans, you know, North American shamans, you might. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, it would be tough. So generally, because it's connected to devotional service, it means over here. So that must mean it's a little less connected. You know, it's religious. You know, that's. A devotee should not commit sinful activities after accepting the holy name of the Lord, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Madhya 13:225. The Lord said, "Do not commit further sins." Jagan Madhra replied, "Never again, O Lord." Right? So that should be the position, is one should be committed like that. That's the position. One has that determination, then one is freed from all the binding nature of sin by being committed that you're not going to do that again. Right, understanding it's wrong, that's the first step. But the next step is then being determined not to commit it again.
Did I say this after there were trees for so many
years?
After
they were trees? Are you thinking in Nakula, Manigriva and Nalakumara? No. This is Jagai Madhai. It means they're right in the middle of it here. You know, they're fresh. Fresh sins. Like that. Basically, they were up to no good just on the morning, probably, that, you know, Lord Chaitanya met them. So it was. No, they basically had a few moments, you know, surrender and get your head chopped off with a Sudarshan chakra, basically. You know, so. But Lord Nityananda stepped in and said, you know, if you're going to kill them, you have to kill everybody because they're all got some
This is pretty much the.
Yeah. So. So seeing all that, then they had those few moments to think about it, and then they surrendered. How a devotee should remain aloof from the rules and regulations is explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 16.144.147. All the rules and regulations are servants of bhakti. One who has trouble accepting this is destroyed. One who is blinded by false pride can never understand the secret. Being proud of his children, wealth, and high birth, he fails to recognize the Vaishnava. All right. So, aloof from the rules doesn't mean one doesn't follow the rules. It just means aloof from the rules means you understand that bhakti is the real point. They're servants of bhakti, so they only have value because of their connection with devotional service. Otherwise, they get up in the morning, right? They'll take their brush their teeth, take their bath, do all these proper things. They put their tilak, they chant their mantras, they do the meditation or puja, they go and they touch the feet of their parents. You know, there's so many good, pious things that they do. But the difficulty is that if one thinks that because of that you're special, or because of that then devotional service goes nicely, then one has missed the point. Their pride, then one cannot actually understand the position. So the point is all these things are assistants to devotional service. Because it's the platform of piety that is the best situation from which to render service to the Lord. Right? So it's just a better situation. Does that make sense? If you're going to chant your japa and you have this nice place and all that, you can sit in the temple, right? Or you can sit out in the back of the garbage dump. You know, you pick the temple. Right? Unless the temple is full of devotees talking pajalta, then you sit down at the garbage dump, then no one will bother you. You know, that's a according to Shore does bother you, it's kind of like, you know, took it. But the point is that situation that's more favorable you take, so therefore the pious situation is considered more favorable. But if it's going to create false pride, then it becomes unfavorable. Right? In other words, if you think that piety stands on its own as important, instead of being a servant to devotional service, that's where then everything goes wrong.
Or does this mean that Anantaja with terrible kids and no money is more likely to spot the Vaishnavas? Like, see the real one?
No. Because for the Antija, they are his terrible kids.
I mean, his kids are him?
It means false pride is your. It means whatever's connected to the body, then you are proud of. So it's not necessarily, but it might be. It's just the point is that the general example is given to get across a point, but that has to be applied at every situation. Right? Does that make sense? So even though for any one example there's the opposite, right? For any rule there's the opposite. But the point is the exception doesn't change the rule. You know? Like that. It's just like when we say all bones are impure but conch is pure. It means only the conch, the bone of the conch is pure. All other bones still are impure, even though the conch is pure. Right? You know, all stool is impure except cow dung. It's not that by cow dung being there now, all stool now becomes. Mm. So we have to be very careful that when we're finding the exception that we don't try to throw it the other way, so that basically then the rule doesn't apply. Rule always applies, but there's always exceptions. Like that. So we have to know that, otherwise one's not so knowledgeable. You know, because it's in every field. You have a planet in a bad house or a bad situation, and you look at it just from there, and it's really bad. But if you check into it and go down, then you find out it's some special yoga that cancels all that, and it's actually very good. You know what I'm saying? So it's through knowledge that one can, you know, so you're not going to pick up technically what's good and bad just from observation. That's the difficulty. Because then somebody will find that exception and then try to make a whole philosophy out of that. So then you have these differing opinions, right? You know, it's like you have, you know, the general kids are all learning. They have a system that every kid learns. And then they find that, you know, but on these certain kids here, it works even if you do it differently, then they get a better result. So then they'll come up with this theory, since that sounds nicer, right? It sounds nicer, you know, they're either putting some intellectual or some social platitude on it. And so it'll sound better. So to the intellectual, you know, the social intellectual, it'll sound very good. So then they'll push that has to be the standard for everybody. But it only works for those particular kids. Either, you know, the really intelligent kids or the certain ones with certain learning difficulties or this. It doesn't apply to everybody. Does that make sense? But then they'll make it into that. And then because of that so-called philosophical viewpoint, it takes a lot longer to get rid of. If it was just, hey, well, let's try this. You know, I saw this the other day, and this is it. Okay, they try. Okay, it just works for those kids, but it doesn't work for the child. But when you turn into a philosophy, it takes a long time to get rid of. You know, it means, does that make sense? They're complaining now that the system, you know, of modern education doesn't always work so good for the kids. But that's been a problem since the early 1800s, because they started all these philosophical ideas. So the problems have been there since then, but because they're so committed to these ideals of goodness and niceness and equality and all those things, they can't actually see is that equality means everybody gets what they need, not that everybody gets the same thing. You know, because otherwise if we did that, then you take 20 years of school, 10th grade should be the 10th grade level should be what everybody, anywhere, in any system, no matter what their qualification or age, they should all learn 10th grade. Because that's the perfect middle. Right? So the kid at nursery school level should be given 10th grade stuff, and the person at an undergraduate should be given 10th year stuff. Then it's equal. Right? But they don't talk like that. So if that's there, then why would they try to use the same system for everybody? You know what I'm saying? But the point is that general system, it always works. Right? And then you have the exceptions. But the exception applies to the exception only. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, if you understood all bones are impure, so you don't touch any bones, and then you come across a conch, but you don't know its nature, and you don't touch it because you understand it's a bone, you still remain pure. You know what I'm saying? But if you reverse it, then it's very rare you're ever going to be pure. Does that make sense? So always when you reverse these, then you understand. You have to understand which is the principle and which is the exception. Because this is a general rule. It's not an exception. Right? That's why he's giving it in this section, because these are rules for everybody. Right? Whether they're grihasthas or renunciants. If it's specific, he's taken many times the same quotes and used them to apply into the specific area, but giving the specific understanding. But otherwise, then they're... Does that make sense? So it's not it's the pride that makes it a problem, not the situation. Whether one has money or not, it doesn't matter. Pride also happens with those who don't have.
Proud of
his penny. Yeah. The same. That's the point. So false pride is what ruins it. But the point is when you those who have more generally tend towards false pride. Those who don't have a tendency, it's not necessarily so much, but it's not that it can't be strong, yes.
Maybe they were already there and that's why they don't have so much anymore.
That's also true, because they were proud of what they had, so they lost it, but the pride didn't go away, because that's the quality that created it. So now they're proud of their nothingness. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise it's like, yeah.
My kids might all be little animals, but they're my little animals.
Yes, they're my little animals. And nobody else better touch my little animals. You know, if anybody criticizes, you know, it's like they can take care of their own animals. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Keep your animals on your side of the fence.
Yeah, yeah. Your animals are bothering my animals. But, you know, that's where you get all these little, you know, how you say, loving little epithets like ankle biters and you know, stuff like that.
He just wants to play. Yeah.
Yeah, let go now. Good grip. The dentist said they had fabulous
teeth. Okay. Yeah, I gotta get the number for your dentist.
Yeah. A devotee should avoid conversing with an atheist. But in other words, you don't just hang out and talk with them, you know, like that. So one thing is, okay, you talk about the weather, like that, but you don't sit there and discuss the philosophy, conversing with them, like that, if you can establish Krishna consciousness, but you don't just hang out with them. State in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 17:19. Did I speak with an atheist in town? Is that why love of God is not manifesting today? Yeah, so he's not able to remember Krishna so nicely, so he's thinking, wow, did I speak with an atheist?
In town, that's also generally where you find them.
Yeah, yeah. In town.
For the conditioned soul, then it's to not listen to his mind too much, and then there'll be more love of Krishna manifesting.
Yeah? Listen less to the mind, more to the intelligence. Yeah, you could try that. Yeah, did I listen to my mind today? Is that why love of God is not Yeah, no, good work. Right. In other words, the idea that the non-devotees are fine and nice and great. The point is, as it said before, for Jalpa, means talking about somebody. Because if you're going to talk, you're talking about somebody. You know? I mean, to start off maybe with the weather, but that means after you've said, yeah, nice weather day. Yeah, a little foggy, a little chilly, but, you know, hey, it's okay, you know? Like that. Now what? You know, now you have to talk about someone else. So then that's Pajalpa. But now that Pajalpa, there's somebody's going to get some devotional benefit from it. You know? Does that make sense? You know, either in the way of the conversation will lead to something better, or by talking this with this person, then things will work out so that some other situation will be more Krishna conscious. Like you're talking for Jalpa with the, the person who gives the authority for some kind of, you know, from the local government for some kind of authorization, and then you can do some, you can hold your Rath Yatra. Mm. You know, so if you don't talk with him, then he's not going to give the sanction. So by talking with him, then it's not Pajalpa. It means he's talking Pajalpa, but you're not, because you're connecting it, that by discussing this way, then he'll sign the paper. Mm. Does that make sense? So here's that, you know, just talking. But, in other words, one should avoid. Giving up relations with non-devotees is most essential. Srila Advaita Prabhu gives the following statement in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 19.175. Even if he is my son or servant, I will never see the face of a person who offends Vaishnavas. Because the point is it may be the son or servant, but it's still that connection of son or servant is only based on their physical platform. It's not actually on the transcendental platform, yes.
But wouldn't a person have a responsibility towards his son and servant as to
the... He's taking care, he just said he won't see his face.
Okay, so like bag over the face and
like
go play in the yard.
Really slow.
Okay.
That's one way of doing it. The other way is leave them in the house and you leave.
Yeah, but all
that's also alternative. Not well appreciated in the material sphere.
In the West now.
So in the other words, the idea is that one avoids the association of the non-devotees.
It is said that in the case of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, he had some who were devotee and some not.
Yeah.
So,
I think there were six, so three were Vaishnavas and three were... Yeah.
So I assume that he recognized that in the beginning.
Could be, but you know, generally, I'm sure, you know, three-year-old, unless they're Shankaracharya, three-year-old Mayavadis aren't that interested in the philosophy. They're more still interested in playing and eating and like that. So you can deal with them on that path.
So how he was acting with his sons who were not Vaishnava, he did not see them? In
that, I think the three, yeah, you don't hear much about them.
Yeah.
Like that. Because you have to read it to find out exactly what happened. Because anything covered in Chaitanya Bhagavat is only given in essential points, so there's the connection of the stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there's not much detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita on a pastime, that means it's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And if there's a lot of detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita, means it's not in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it brings out more kind of the mood and the preaching and those kind of elements. That Chaitanya Bhagavat just, you know, goes through all, means moods are there, but I'm saying from the, it's just, it's within the pastimes. Mm-hmm. So one can appreciate it. But the point is, if one doesn't appreciate the pastimes, then Chaitanya Charitamrita will be better because it shows all the philosophy and everything by which one gets qualified to appreciate them. Right. Otherwise, then, if one is properly established, if one is not properly established, Chaitanya Charitamrita will then also establish you in that position. But the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's taking for granted that you're already, you know, you don't have any misgivings. And so it's just talking about the Lord and his pastimes and how they and the associates deal. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is meant for the devotees, but it also deals with all these different aspects to remove.
Will we be reading Chaitanya Bhagavat during the Sastra Chakshus?
No. Might come up in the Prema Chakshus. Means the last 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that would be its natural connection.
Mm-hmm.
How do you place Chaitanya Mangala for different opinions?
What was the question?
About Chaitanya Mangala. That I'm not sure. It'll also be. It'll be from that particular devotee, you know, from the position from which he is seeing from, so I'm not sure who wrote it. I think that's Lochan Das. So then, you know, but it's just, it will probably give things that aren't in the other two, or, you know, just little details and nice little things. Point is as you get into these finer points of the Leela, then there has to be less and less material difficulties. Otherwise, then they'll give rise to those because he's just dealing with, you know, just the personal interactions. So if one has any problems on any element of the personal interaction, then one will find there's a difficulty. Right? Does that make sense? Like in 10th canto, if you just read it on its own, that's one thing, but like Prabhupada made the Krishna book, and so all the philosophical points and examples from the other 9 cantos that are necessary to understand that point is already written in, but in the same flavor, so it reads like, you know, the same story. There is other things. Okay. Yes.
Piece of information.
Piece of information.
The Dhammakarma Maharaj was telling about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said that it was very much distorted by, you know, by people who wanted to promote their names and dynasties. They just added something. And then Bhaktivedanta Saraswati, he cut a lot. So basically what we have is his edition, very, very much enriched.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati.
Yeah, he edited through it and it just left whatever is authorized.
Okay, so if you're getting the Chaitanya Mangala that's translated from the Bengali edition of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur,
yeah,
then that's.
Yeah, that's what Maharaj, Chaitanya Maharaj, what he explained.
What he?
What he explained, yeah.
Explained,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. There's no comparison between bhakti and pious activities, as explained in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Because we may say, no, but they're very nice, they're very wonderful, you know, they do everything, they're even more pleasant than being around the devotees. Mm-hmm. But there's no comparison between bhakti and pious activities. Mm-hmm. Chaitanya Bhagavata, Madhya 2354. The Lord said, don't think you have become powerful by performing austerities. Know for certain that devotion to Lord Vishnu is the highest goal. Right, so one can never compare. Sometimes devotees will tell, oh, but the karmis are so much nicer than the devotees. But the point is there's no comparison because their niceness, they have a particular purpose for that. The devotees being not nice, there is no purpose. You could say it's unmotivated. You know, it's like that. It has absolutely no value at all. Right? You know, but for the karmis, there's a particular purpose why they're nice. You know, it's their identity or something. And so, the devotees not appreciating the element that you can, you know, being straightforward and all these things doesn't mean that you have to be nasty. Because they're just thinking, I'm being straight honest. Because in their culture, that is how honesty would be. So then they mistake that, no, you can be very nice and be straightforward, or you can be very nice and get things done. You don't have to be nasty to get things done. Like that. Yes.
All right, so how do we perform Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness process, without falling into the trap of piety, you know, like chanting and, you know, someone like this. You can, because there's a way you can chant the Maha Mantra and just develop piety and take it.
That generally would mean that you would be only interested in elevating yourself to the heavenly planets, and then you would chant in that. So you could do that. As I mentioned before, there was that one devotee that was his interest. You know, so he would, but he understood his devotional service is the only process you can use in this age. So, you know, like that. So, but the, does that make sense? What we're talking about here is that sometimes we mistake that good qualities is automatically devotional, or it's also nice. It's only nice because then it can be used in the Lord's service. It's not nice just by itself. Because the point is why do they have those qualities? It's for their own. They see that you'll get better material benefit by being nice. You know what I'm saying? So, and that that's their identity. They're nice. I'm a nice person, so I always talk nicely or behave nicely. It's a material identity. So, because it's mundane, it doesn't actually have any good quality. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, is that these elements, is that nothing has any value unless it's connected to Krishna. And the point that anything does have value is because it is connected to Krishna. Point is everything in the world is connected to Krishna. but due to illusion we think it's not. So those things that we connect, then we'll say is good, and those we don't connect, we'll say is bad. So from either side, you know, thinking that, well, they have good qualities even though they're not devotees, the qualities you're seeing are still connected to Krishna, but you don't see it connected to Krishna. You think they have the good qualities, so that's why it's not good, because their qualities are actually Krishna's qualities, but you're not recognizing Krishna, and you're saying, oh, they have the qualities. No, it's not Krishna who has it. You understand? So technically they don't have any good because they're Krishna's. And the other point is that they only have these things for some material purpose. Right? They'll benefit in some way by manifesting those qualities. Right? If they're nice and kind and caring, then they have friends, they have relatives, everybody reciprocates and all that. It's not that it's just, it in itself is good. And even if they think just, you know, goodness for goodness sake, like that. But the thing is that the problem is why, under whose authority or what position would you base it on that goodness for goodness sake is good? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, Santa May bases, you know, his decisions
on
this.
He's so hard to get a hold of. He's so difficult to get a hold of.
Oh, you tried calling?
Yeah, we tried sending letters and stuff.
Emails?
No, not email. Maybe that's...
You can try emails. Yeah. Right, that's, you know, Els can do a lot more by emails than that these days.
But how does one avoid, because one can practice Krishna consciousness for 20 years and like tread water, seem like treading water and still be in the same place. You know, I remember you said before there was some, if you go to the temple and somebody's there and he's nice, and then if you come back after 10 years, then back this Bhakta has come up and he's now he's the temple president, but that other devotee he's still. He's nice, but he's still in the same.
Yeah, yeah. So well, that was there. It's just we're saying is about just being nice is good.
Yeah.
But the point is why nice is good, because if that's engaged in Krishna service, it makes things so much nicer. Mm. Right. But if it's just nice and that's all, then they may be missing something. You know what I'm saying? So being nice is good. It's part of the etiquette. Mm. But the point is because it's part of the etiquette, that's why it's important. Mm. Right? The karmis aren't following Vaishnav etiquette. So they're following etiquette because they know that's how socially it'll work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they'll get benefit from that. They don't want to be known as the person who doesn't do that to them.
And then did pious Hindus, did they go into a pitfall or something? A pious pitfall?
The pious pitfall is called, you know, the higher planets in the material world. Better facilities in higher planets. Hmm. Does that make sense? So the idea is this, the anarta, that piety has value outside of Krishna consciousness. It means it has value, but it's only it can't be compared. Right? Because the material piety will get you a better situation in the material world, and that's it. But if that piety is engaged in Krishna service, you'll go back to Godhead. Right? So the material piety is better than impiety. Right? Because at least then the soul is, you know, steady and comfortable. You know, because no one likes to see anybody, you know, not comfortable, right? Does that make sense? So that way it's better, but it's still completely mundane. Does that make sense? Yes.
When devotee is pious or let's say nice, is more or less chance to commit Vaishnava Parasa than more.
That's there. So in that way, that's why we said you can come back and be still there. But some of the others, they may have done so much, but then committing this and that may or may not be there. But the point was more from the other side that it's that being conscious and committed to that dynamic Krishna consciousness, that that's what's going to move things forward very nicely, rather than just being pleasant and nice and, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, where is that pleasantness of niceness coming from? It is coming, yes, it's coming from Krishna, but in their own mind, it's just, that's their background, and that's what they felt as nice. Good chance if they weren't a devotee, they would be just as good and just as nice. You know, they would still talk in the same pleasant way and still be just like that. Now they become a devotee, that's the same. Not necessarily become proud of it, just for them it's normal, but they're functioning on their conditioning. And because it's nice, you don't notice it. Because if the person was rough, he's off the street and he joins, he's still going to be rough and off the street. But people are going to comment because it annoys them. So then slowly, slowly tries to get together. But if the person is really just nice and wonderful, no one's going to say anything. Right? Same time as there's much of the time you see as persons who are from that kind of a background have a tendency to be more focused. So then much of the time you see they do, taking up Krishna consciousness, advance very quickly. But we're talking where someone's coming from a sentimental, very nice background rather than a you know, trained, very nice background. Does that make sense? Because in one, it's an identity. You know, it's sentimental. We're nice. This is the way we are. The other is you have to be nice to get anything done. So it's not as much an identity as it's a known tool in accomplishment. Does that make sense? Because generally you see, as rich guys may or may not be nice, but really rich guys generally always are nice. Okay, so then it's a matter of they see that, okay, this is what you have to do, and therefore they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, here. Don't think you become powerful by performing austerities. No, it's that you perform the activity and then the Lord, you know, either is devotional, being pleased with it, or that you're performing, you're following the scriptural rules on how to do something properly. So therefore you get the benefit. So even if someone doesn't know the scriptural rule, if they follow it, they'll get benefit. Does that make sense? But you don't get as much benefit as if you know. Does that make sense? So if by accident, you know, a karmi follows some Vedic rule they don't know, but they perform the activity, they'll get the result. Yes.
Isn't that kind of like how everything works in the material world? If anybody gets any results, it's actually because they're following Krishna's laws.
Yes, that's how it works. But they don't see it like that. They think, because I did this, therefore I got the result. Yeah. No, it's because you did what was proper. Because so many people do so many things.
Yeah. And it's also why people, it's so difficult for them to understand that this is the absolute truth, because there's so many different cultures and so many philosophies, and they put them in boxes.
Yes.
And they don't see that the circles overlap, and what
they don't see it's one circle. It's just different parts in the same circle. But Samandabhide and Prayojana is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change no matter how you're applying it to what. Yeah. But the it's just a matter of how expansive it is, or whether it would be considered pious or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Does that make sense? You know, like we said, you can't perform an impious activity unless you know what it is. You know, it means unless you know the difference between your hand and the dice, right? How do you throw the dice? And unless you know by throwing the dice, then that result will get you either win or lose. And by winning, then I get this much money. So it's sambandha abhideya prayojan. Mm. So they're still following the principle, but because it's just so small and applied in just that little way, that they follow that, then it works. The person who doesn't know, then it doesn't. Does that make sense? You know. And then you have your previous activities. Mm. But someone may do something he doesn't know. You know, somebody's there's an accident, he goes over and helps them, like that. So that's what you're supposed to do. You know, that's what the Vedas say. You know, it said if there's a calamity and you don't, you know, in the village and you don't help, then you'll get a reaction for that. So you're supposed to. That's just the way it works. So they do that. You know, there's a flood, so everybody comes out and helps fill sandbags and all that. So they'll get piety from that. But they get piety from that because that's what the scripture says. Mm. Not that just because they were being nice guys. Yeah, I mean, but nice guys is still based on religion. There is no such thing as nice that's not based on religion. You know, he's supposed to do that. You know, the guy in the gang, he's submissive to the head of the gang. But that's, you're supposed to be submissive to authority. That's just the way it works. So that's why then the guy likes him and he moves up. Yeah, or is at least not shocked. You know? Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So it all is based on the Vedic principles, just people don't know it. That's why Prabhupada says that all the societies follow Varnashram. It's just that in the Vedic culture it's scientific, and in the others it's not. It's haphazard. They catch certain things. Mm. You know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay. In the Vedic culture, is it explained that, for example, somebody is stealing something? Is it if somebody catch a thief or just leave the thing like that? What is the difference?
Well, it depends on the connection, depends upon, you know, how big is the gun that the thief has, you know, how many guys around him are standing with machine guns, you know, I mean, all these things are to be taken into consideration. It means that you can do something about it, but the point is that's a man of the village not doing something in the village, right? But if you're not a man from that village, then if it's something that you can't do anything about, you don't get involved.
Yes.
But if you can do something about it, you know, the guy's running by and you can stick out your foot and trip him, and then, you know, the police can catch him, then, you know, the same point is that, or you don't get involved. It depends, you know. And especially if someone's a householder, you get involved, you know, it's more of a tendency to get involved. If you're a renunciate, it's not so important to get involved, you know, unless it's something that'll save lives or, you know, stuff like that. But if it's a matter of, you know, is that what I'm saying? Right. You know, so there's many fine points. Does that work? But it's well, you know, what would be pleasing to Krishna? You know, is how could you be involved? How would that? You know, so it's ordinary dealing. So you deal in what would be expected, you know, on that ordinary platform. Does that make sense?
And the important thing is to be Krishna conscious.
Yeah, of course. Conscious. That's always the element.
Just yesterday I get experience. You know, I was in my place in the evening time, and one person came try to steal a cycle, and he was dressed as a devotee. So I did not saw him, but suspicion was quite there. So I catch this person, I bring him to the security place in the temple, and it was after some times I was there. But I get the news today that he was admitted that he stole a few other things, you know, like scooter or something like that. You know. So when yesterday after catching this person, devotee, and I was thinking what to do about because the consequences can be quite harsh for him. He can go to jail or something like that.
But he's not a devotee.
He's not a devotee.
No, he's he's a professional thief. Yes. That figured out if he dresses up as a devotee, he can get in and steal things.
Yes, yes. But I did not know.
That's why one has to judge, you know, like that. But it's still. But in this case, it was the guy's not a devotee.
Yes.
They're from another city up north.
Yes.
You know, and they just come down here, steal stuff, and go take it back up north.
In one country in Europe, there was one Sankirtan devotee. He chased after a robber from one of the jewelry stores.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost caught up with him, and then the thief turned around and emptied a clip, full clip into his body, six times or something like that. So, and he was doing Sankirtan, and then he stopped doing that and ran after that. So then it was like misjudgment of
what and he wasn't wearing his Kevlar vest.
No Kevlar.
that would be
Kevlar kurtan.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful, especially nowadays. Was it the karma, that kind of thing outside, I wouldn't get involved.
A couple of days ago, a couple of Danish devotees were cycling, and then one Muslim person, he opened his car door just in front of one of the cyclists, and they got into an argument, which ended with the guy coming back with a gang of Muslims with baseball bats that basically attacked the Danish temples. And they broke every window in the place and tried to kick in the door. And
And then they called the police and said that the Muslims were having, riots with the Hindus.
No, this is Copenhagen, Denmark.
You're just dealing with bad things.
Yes. Just talking about, I think the general theme is not to get too involved in the...
One generally doesn't get involved in the regular mundane affairs. But, if it's something light and anything like that, then that's another thing. But you have to be careful. Because even today, it can be turned around and stuff like that.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
If you want to have a change the flavor of the note, and I think it was in London, the devotees were doing Hare Nam, and they ran into these, like punks like that, and they were giving him a lot of trouble and all that. And the punks got upset, so then the devotees, because it's just, I forget what the place is called, but it's just like one or two blocks away from the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So they were finishing Harinam. So then they went back and they went to the temple. Then those punks went back, got 20 of their friends like that, baseball, whatever it is like that, and came down to find them. Just at that time, then there was a group that had come out, they were some inimical, Gaudiya Mutt towards this punk. They had just come out of Harinam, and these punks found them and beat them to a pulp. So it does.
Sorry,
things can work out.
We shouldn't laugh, but.
It's unfortunate, but it was very funny because I think just at that time that other group was making a lot of trouble for ISKCON, and so then it was quite interesting how it worked out.
Extremely unfortunate.
Don't beat us, we're a schism, but we like Krishna also,
it didn't work out.
It's very complicated to explain in 2.7 seconds.
Yeah.